From that organisation, we have Guy Murphy. And one of the things I want to talk to you about very shortly, Guy, is about how we're actually preparing people to live on the moon, on Mars, what sort of research is going on there. But young man here had a question. Go ahead.
I was wondering what you thought of the Harrison Smith's idea that we could go to the moon first.
Well, that issue is sort of debated a bit, but one of the things that going to the moon first would do is develop a set of reliable technologies for transporting and for living on the lunar surface on a long-term basis. If you're going to go to Mars, you're going to need to do that as well. If an industry was developed, mining on the moon, particularly if it was commercially funded, you could potentially reduce some of the costs associated with executing a human mission to Mars by developing a lot of the necessary technologies in a commercial capacity. So that might be one way of possibly reducing the cost to government of undertaking a human Mars mission. Part of the preparation that was undertaken, the Apollo program for undertaking the moon landings and for working out what the best way was to explore the lunar surface around the landing craft and working out what sorts of equipment was needed, what the best way of building, designing the interior layout of the spacecraft. To do that sort of thing, simulations were undertaken. Human mission to Mars will be of a much longer duration than the lunar landings were. So necessarily, a lot of preparatory work will need to be undertaken to work out what the best way of exploring the surface around an initial landing base will be, how to plan, lay out the base habitat structures themselves. So
inflatable?
There's all different sorts of construction methods that can be used, but what you don't want to do is send a group of people there on a long duration flight, which could be 26 months or longer, and get there and find you're missing a crucial bit of hardware, or that the layout of the habitat's unworkable and your crew members are all starting to get really grumpy and unproductive. What the Mars Society's been doing in Devon Island in northern Canada and in Utah is basically constructing a simulated Mars base using habitat hardware from an existing mission plans and just running detailed simulations, realistic simulations of how, with people dressing up, putting on astronauts' suits, walking out, conducting EVAs the same way an astronaut would on the Martian surface, and just learning what the most effective strategies are, what some of the problems are that are encountered. You only really learn this kind of thing by actually getting out and trying it, just as it was done with the Apollo program, and there has been a gap in the research that's been done by NASA to date. So the Mars Society has been commenced a program of its own analog research. Analog means simulation-based research, and we would like to undertake some of this in outback Australia. And if you go to our website, www.marssociety.org.au, you can find some detailed documents describing some of the hardware and some of the field testing scenarios that we're looking at doing. Well, the reports that you heard recently of confirmed subsurface ice exists around, well, from the poles but up to lower latitudes. It's, from what I understand, it's permanent. The actual polar caps change with the seasons, and one's carbon dioxide and one's water. But it's significant because it confirms the presence of subsurface. It's the first sort of definite confirmation that it's there. Geologists have predicted it's been there. I'm not a geologist. But it's part of a whole lot of interesting data that's going to be coming in over this year and the coming years. There's a whole lot of new probes and landers arrive. So. Well, it confirms that if there's a substantial amount of subsurface ice, then there's probably subsurface reservoirs of liquid water, which would be the ideal location to look for life. I mean, if there is life on Mars, most probably it will be extremophiles living in subsurface locations that are shielded from the harsh conditions of the surface. So again, it points to there being further confirmation that there's likely to be certain places that are amenable to life. And again, the presence of water can only be a positive thing for future human exploration. Australian Mars Society Australia seeks to promote Australian involvement in this in particular, because Australia is very much the odd one out in terms of the fact that it doesn't have its own national space program. We don't sponsor Australians to become astronauts in the International Space Station as many other comparable countries do. There's an accelerated program of landers, probes, orbiting craft will be arriving in the next decade, and it's increasingly going to be very anomalous that Australia is not involved in that. But, it's presumed that early human settlements will be focused on scientific research, and in a similar way as bases in Antarctica, and it won't, I guess, immediately be in a big issue. But if there's to be long-term human settlements, going to need substantial economic activity to support it, and there'll have to be some sort of, if that's going to happen, there will need to be some sort of framework put in place to allow some sort of, if there's to be any sort of anything of commercial value there, which colonies, human settlements are to use to support themselves, then there'll need to be some sort of private property framework in place. It's going to get interesting, I suspect. If one country sets up a permanent presence, a whole lot will follow.
All right, Guy Murphy, thank you very much. And thank you also for bringing Harrison Schmidt out here today. Thanks all for coming. Okay. It's been Science at the Redback. See you all next time. Yep.